struggling with whatever it might be, whatever role that you're in, please know that SELPA is a resource for you related to special education. And so every county in the state of California has a SELPA. There may be multiple SELPAs within one county, but at least every county has a SELPA. And they really are a resource for folks to be able to gain information they may need to help them navigate the special education process. Anything that might be special ed related, whether it be a staff member or a parent or a community agency, please reach out to your SELPAs for that support, because they're a wealth of information. We live this job every day, and the access to resources that we have and the relationships that we have can often help people move things along the way they want to get things moved along. And so I think it's more of a plug for, like, understand that SELPAs are here for you, whether it be a staff member, a community member, or a family or a community organization, that we are here for you to support in any way that we possibly can.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Marty Rimmers. Marty is the San Joaquin County SELPA Director in San Joaquin County Office of Education, and that is in Stockton, California. So, Marty, thank you for being here, and I think I got it right.
Yes, you nailed it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, tell us a little bit about, not everybody understands what a SELPA is, especially for those that are outside of California. So, if you can, I'm assuming it's an acronym. So if you can give us that acronym, I know what it is, but I want our listeners to know. And then just tell us a little bit about what a SELPA does and then what your job is, and then we can go from there. Is that okay?
Sure. Sounds great. So SELPA is an acronym for Special Education Local Plan Area. And so we have a department of about 15 here in San Joaquin County that helps support special education throughout our SELPA. And really, SELPA is a governance structure for the 11 districts that are in our quote-unquote SELPA. That we basically oversee all the special education within those 11 districts to help districts, provide their special education services. And also we set policy for our area to making sure that students are getting what they need. And so really it's a more broad overview and support for our districts in our area to help them with their any special education needs they may have. And so it's my job to kind of oversee that and then oversee our team that provides those supports to districts.
So not all SELPAs are the same size either, are they?
No, yeah. So a lot of times it's kind of funny because we have a state association and everybody wants to know, what's your ADA? How big are you? And so they range from small and rural SELPAs to our, to very large SELPAs. And so we're probably middle of the road as far as size goes. We have about 73,000 students in our SELPA ADA wise. And so we're about middle of the road.
Wow. And ADA?
That's attendance. So average daily attendance.
Okay,
yeah.
There you
so
go. Just want to make sure. We love our acronyms in education.
I know, right? Special ed.
Yeah. That and the military. They like theirs too, I'll tell you.
Don't know that, but I'll take your word for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So so tell us some of the good things that are happening at San Joaquin.
Sure. So we first, I would start off on the big picture. Like San Joaquin County Office of Education, I just started working here in last September of 24. And our organization as a whole is just on the super cutting edge of all things related to education, not just in our SELPA. And so we have a large organization that covers lots of really cool things. We run CodeStack, which is a tech side of a business that helps support our SACE, which is basically our special education integration system that houses all the data. And so CodeStack runs SACE, which is really cool. And they also run EdJoin, which is our application process and across the state of California where people apply, that districts post jobs on there, and then people are able to apply through the EdJoin platform. So as a whole, SJCOE is just an amazing place to work. The culture itself is fantastic, and I'm really happy to be here to represent SJCOE. But through our SELPA, I think we have a few main things that we're always kind of working on. One is engaging with our community as much as possible. So our mission and our vision is to engage our community to be able to help them become independent of support. So we want basically them to be so full of knowledge that they don't ever reach out for support from anyone. And so we're really focusing on building that capacity with our districts, with our families, with community agencies and organizations to really give them all the tools and resources that they need. And also on top of that, to actually help them learn and to navigate the system to where they can provide supports to their students and their districts without having to reach out. They've got it handled and dialed in. So that's our mission and vision here within the SELPA itself.
And how quickly you said that tells me you live that mission.
I'm sorry, so can you repeat that?
No, that's okay. I'm always impressed with people. I should have been very clear. People who can say their mission and their vision the way that you did, you live that mission.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah. It's not something that's in a book, in a piece of paper, written down somewhere, and just because every company has a mission, a vision, and values, but that's something we do at Lighthouse as well. So I'm always impressed with people who can go, this is our mission. And this is exactly what we're doing, because that's what you're doing.
Before every meeting, that's the question I always pose, like, how is the conversation that we're having relating to our mission and vision? It may sound weird, but it's kind of naturally flowing because the folks that we have in this department really have that kind of broader view in education as itself. And our goal is to support our community without, you know, all those community organizations, the districts, the families. It takes the whole group to be able to rise students up. And so that's what our goal is here within our SELPA.
Wow. Yeah. It's fantastic. And the community wins because of what you're doing.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the goal, right? We want our community to thrive. And so Stockton doesn't always get the best rep as far as like a city. And so we're trying to reshape that, reframe that to make our community a place that's destination for folks and where people want to be. So,
right. Yeah, that's so great. That is so great. So you were talking about a little bit about EdJoin, and I just want to clarify for me, because do you guys run EdJoin, or are you run the whole thing?
The CodeStack Academy runs EdJoin and SACE. Yep, that's their two big ones. They also have a SST platform that they push out. But our CodeStack within SJCOE runs both of those platforms.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
I know EdJoin and I know SACE. I mean, as a therapist who worked in California for many years, we still work in California, but you know, when I was the therapist, one of many, 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 but I'm very familiar with SACE, and it is, I have to say, it is probably one of the most user-friendly IEP software systems that is out there. Because I mean, and partly because I know it, but still, it was always easy to use. It was always easy to learn. I know there's been major updates even since I've been, you know, doing it. So kudos to you guys. That's amazing.
Yeah, that shows how broad and wide of a range, a reach that SJCOE has. And with both of those platforms that CodeStack operates, they're always looking to become better and changing, evolving with the times. And so that's something I really appreciate on their end, is how open they are to changes and making sure that they're staying up to date the best they can to support our students and our staff too. So yeah, it's great to have that partnership with CodeStack on the SELPA.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. For sure. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
So what other kinds of things are happening? What is your position? Let's talk a little bit about what do you do as the director?
So as a director, so we have a team of 5 program specialists, and we also have a data coordinator. And so I directly oversee those folks. And each of our program specialists have a district that they're assigned to. And so basically they help with anything SPED related that districts may reach out and offer and need support for. Our program specialists basically, help them in any way they can. So that's kind of the direct supervision piece on my end. The other bigger piece is that we have a council of directors that's within our SELPA. And so that means there's 11 LEAs that we have in our SELPA, and each of them has a special education director. And so we meet once a month as a group to kind of talk about whatever it is that's going on during that month. And so I facilitate that meeting. And then on top of that, we also have our governance council, which is all of our superintendents. And so we meet about 8 times a year, and I facilitate that meeting with all of our superintendents as well, to making sure everybody's on the same page. And so really I see my job as providing clarity and purpose to related to special ed within our SELPA. That's my goal, is making sure that we're effectively communicating what we need to communicate to our folks. And then also that mission and vision statement, you know, although it's our mission and vision as a SELPA, it's my job to articulate that to others, so that way people understand where we're coming coming from as an organization and a department to help us align our work with what they're trying to accomplish within their district. So that's kind of my the broad view of what I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to grab one more LEA. Tell people what an LEA is.
That's a local education agency. So basically a school district is right.
Again, it's an acronym that not everybody's going to know. So we want to make sure that, because I know what you're talking about. I absolutely, as much as I know California, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I, you know, my job as the host is to go, okay, want to make sure that,
because
if you go to Texas, which is where I'm at, they don't say IEP, they say ARD. It's an ARD meeting, not an IEP meeting. Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Interesting.
So, and it just is, you know, and ISDs instead of SELPAs and stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, just every state that you get into has their own way of, you know, everybody follows the law, but they've all designed it a little bit differently through the years. And it just is dependent on, you know, where you're at. And California's big, so you have a lot. So. But it's great. It's an amazing piece of it that you can do all of that. So what would you say then is the toughest part of your job?
So I think for me specifically, it's we have really unique districts in that we have really small districts and we have really big districts. So, for example, New Jerusalem is probably our smallest district, and they have basically 4 students that participate in our SELPA. So it's like one half of a classroom. And then we have Manteca that is just huge. It's got over 25,000 students in their district. And so navigating, because what the goal is the SELPA is have a collective kind of voice moving forward. And so a lot of times what bigger districts need, the smaller ones may not have that same needs. And so it's really understanding the diverse needs of all of our districts within our SELPA and providing that support for them in ways that's going to be beneficial to them. And so that's very challenging in itself. Thankfully, I got a really great team around me that helps kind of parse that out with our program specialists. But that's definitely unique and challenging, to making sure there's consensus among all the districts and moving forward, you know, as a group, as a unit. And so that's a big challenge on my side. I'd also say is when you start talking about inclusion, so that's a big push within our SELPA as well, is understanding, you know, the role of inclusion, what inclusion's for, and the importance of inclusion for all of our districts, past just the compliance piece, because, you know, they're mandated to meet a certain amount of inclusion, or at least be working towards that inclusion indicators. And so helping, you know, structure helping to frame the conversations around how and why inclusion is needed and how it's beneficial, and then helping those districts make the changes that they need to make in order to meet their quote unquote indicators. And it's what's best for students. So those are some areas that I think are really challenging as well that I come across on a daily basis.
Well, and if you have 11 different districts, you have 11 different ideas of how to do that, and 11 different sizes of schools that are doing that. I can't imagine that.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we recommend things, but it's ultimately up to them. And so, you know, there's sometimes different visions of how things are going to go. And so we have to work through those between our own department and the districts. Cause you know, we try to always stay on evidence-based practices as much as possible. And sometimes when folks want to stray away from those, we always got to try to reel them back in. And it's like, hey, this is, you know, this is what the data shows. This is what research shows. These are best practices, and they're all based off evidence. So those conversations are always fun and engaging, because I learn more from the folks that I work with and work around than anywhere else. And so I get to learn just as much as they are as we go through those conversations.
And it's always changing, isn't it?
Always, always. The state changes stuff, especially in California. Every year you're getting something new shoved down your throat. So we just got to take it, adapt, and keep our head down and do the work, because that's what we're here for, is to engage our students and community.
Yeah. And ultimately we take care of the kids, period. You know, the bottom line is those kids. Yeah.
That's
for us too. You know, it's always about what is best for the kids. We will try to answer and be as compliant as we possibly can be, but it's hard when, you know, you still have to take care of those kids. They matter.
Yep. And sometimes those conversations can go awry because other folks have other priorities, may not always necessarily be student related, or directly student related, I should say. And so navigating those conversations to always reframe it back to the student is definitely an art and a skill that I feel like I've attained that over time. But you know, it's always on the forefront of your mind and making sure that the conversation stays centered around student needs and student development.
Do you have any charters or homeschool kids in your district as well?
Yeah, so one of our school districts, Banta, actually has quite a few. Well, New Jerusalem does too. Have quite a few charters within their authorizers for those charter schools, and so there is a large charter population within our SELPA. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So what do you see as going forward? What are like your big initiatives?
So inclusion is definitely one. Yeah. So making sure that we're supporting our districts in that inclusion piece. I also believe that hiring and recruitment and retention is huge for our SELPA of staff. I'm sure you hear this across, you know, the many podcasts you've done. It's like we're having a hard time finding teachers. And then when we do find teachers, how to keep them. And so we're working, one of our program specialists has actually got a expertise in history and new teacher support and case management, all that stuff. And he's developing a framework to help to give the districts to be able to say, here's kind of the ways that we feel like teachers should be supported. You can change it and adapt it however you want to. But at least that framework and that skeleton is there for them. And then the PD side, professional development side, making sure that they're getting the appropriate training they need in order to stay in the position that they're in, because they're challenging positions for sure.
So, yeah.
For now, I think those are the two top needs that we have within our SELPA, is that inclusion and then recruitment and retention of staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's across the United States. I don't know any school that doesn't have a challenge with hiring and keeping teachers. I know I've talked to quite a few that have gotten really, it's thinking outside the box and growing from within and supporting their students to help them to go to college, to become a teacher, and paying for their education so that they come back. Yep. As a matter of fact, my bachelor's degree was from Mercy College in Dobbs Ferry, New York. I was living in New York, just in Westchester County, north of the city. Talk about broke. I was broke. That was an expensive place to live as a young adult. But it was fantastic because they had a scholarship, and it was to grow therapists as a speech language pathologist. Mm-hmm. They needed more speech pathologists. And so if you took this degree and you went into education as an SLP, this scholarship, every year you got the scholarship, you had to work 2 years for the schools. And yeah. It was just a really, you know, again, another way to encourage people, helped me immensely on paying for my education. Didn't pay for all of it, but it made it easier for me to get an education because of that scholarship.
And yeah, that's awesome. We're also attacking it from a different angle too, in that, you know, as you're probably aware, being in classrooms, the paraprofessionals make a lot of our classrooms go. And so we're investing a lot of time and effort into developing our paraprofessionals to kind of grow our own pipeline or to work in whatever, you know, they want to get into, whether it be teaching or SLP or OT. Like we're putting a lot of time and investment in our paraprofessionals to where we're building them up to hopefully they'll want to stay within our SELPA, within our county, and grow into that next level of whatever it is that they might want to do. So that's the way we're also attacking that piece too.
Are you struggling to keep speech therapy fully staffed or tired of high turnover? You're not alone. At Lighthouse Therapy, our speech language pathologists are seasoned professionals, and most of them have over 16 years of school-based experience. They're not just qualified, they're consistent, relational, and results-driven. We offer three flexible delivery models: virtual therapy, hybrid therapy, and in-person therapy. It's speech therapy done right for you and your students. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter-together. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you start at this level and then you work to this level and then you work mm-hmm. to this level and then you work to, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's so important. It's you know, no, we're learning all the time. And when we can support our people, and I'll tell you, a paraprofessional can make or break a classroom. They really 100%,
can. 100%. Yeah.
So 100%. having ones that care and love what they do and they're helpful. And as a teletherapist myself, you know, they're the ones that are usually coming and bringing the kids to the computer so we can do services. And, you know, having that really amazing communication and supporting them because they're your hands and feet when you're a teletherapist, they are. And I'm like, you are my hands and my feet. And I am 2000 miles away. One of my most favorite things to do with my kids when I was living in Michigan at the time when I first started doing teletherapy. And I had several contracts in California. I was serving kids in California. And the first session I did was a geography lesson because I was like, okay, we're going to pull up a map and I want That's you great. To show me where you live on this map. Help them to understand where they are. Because That's they, awesome. You know, kids don't get that. They don't understand that 2000 right. miles is a distance that they just don't get. I would put my little stamp on the map and then we draw a line and go, oh, that's very, gosh. Very far. But it was fun, you know.
Yeah,
it was really
I bet.
Fun. Yeah, that was hardest thing for me to give up was as a CEO was to give up seeing kids because you know it's just my heart. Once you're a servant leader, you're always a servant leader.
That is correct. It's hard to sometimes stay in touch too. The further you get away from the classroom, and so I try to make it a point to get out of the office as much as I can and go see districts, programs, and students. Just get that little touch and feeling. I started as a teacher, and so that's kind of my background and you know I loved it. I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. That was what I wanted to do. And so the further you get away from sometimes you stay out, you feel like you're out of touch, but I try to make it a point to make sure I get back into classrooms and see what's going on out there.
Yeah, it is really hard. It's one of the things that I've seen in other companies as well. And even in myself, you know, you just, and this why we talk, you know, we get into what's happening in education. I never want to be a 10,000 foot CEO because it doesn't, you know, that's not where the magic is happening, right? We can make policies and procedures and all that all day long. Even our coordinators here, our clinical coordinators are 50-50 because I'm like, the second that you stop seeing kids, you just lose something. And they're the ones that are coordinating all of our services and what we're doing. So I really, now we have regional people. We have two regional and a corporate person who's also amazing. But it's just a piece of it. You really have to keep your fingers in it or you lose it for sure.
From my end, it's like you need to know what's going on out there. Yes, that's important, but also it helps you anticipate the needs of what folks, you know, have coming up. And so it helps us plan in advance to be prepared for whatever might be coming up as far as a change. But anticipation and staying ahead of the game is, you know, where we try to live within our department here. And so if you're not out on the ground understanding what's actually happening out there, you have no way of anticipating what's coming next or what needs they may have moving forward. And so that's our way to kind of try to stay ahead of it. As I encourage, like our program specialists, got to get out there, got to get a face to a name, you got to boots on the ground type of thing to making sure that you're establishing a relationship with folks, which is great. But then there's another layer to that is like, it's great. That's going to get you in the door having a good relationship with somebody. But then it comes down to what is the work they're actually doing when you do establish those relationships, because things can go sour pretty quick if you're not following up or doing what you need to do on your end to making sure that relationship stays meaningful and relevant. So,
Yeah, for sure. And when you're at supervisory body like that, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but and you're making recommendations, they can listen to you or they cannot, right?
Exactly.
And that's the way you look.
Yeah. And, you know, as a consultant or a hit and run artist, as I call them, like you're only there for a certain amount of time. Right. And so the recommendations that you're making need to have some weight behind it. And so folks trust you and trust that you're going to make the right recommendation, then things have a better chance to be able to move forward in a meaningful way for those students. And so, but you got to have your boots on the ground. You got to know what's going on. You got to walk the walk, you know, all those cliches. Because just being friendly, nice person isn't going to get the movement on the needle that you need to get. So,
right. Yeah. And with technology and the way things are changing so incredibly fast, it's just, you know, wow, you just got to do it. And it's something that we're navigating all the time. I mean, I was just talking to one of our, we have a lady who writes blogs for us and keeps things up to date. And she just wrote about AI and, you know, and she's like, by the time I publish this, Janet, it's probably going to have changed it again because that's yep. how fast it's changing. And it's just like, okay, well, you know, and we, you know, I was telling her, I was like, I think that you have to, you have to teach them. You have to teach mm-hmm. the kids about technology because and AI and what's out there, because if you don't, the world is going to teach them, and yeah. the world is going to teach them in a way that we don't want the world to teach them, and not in a positive and loving environment, and not in a positive and loving way. You know, it's got, so you can't bury your head in the sand and it, you know, and just go, it's, well, it's okay. You know, and I'm 58. I just turned 58. Right. It's like, it's technology that is kind of beyond my 58-year-old brain. So I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, navigating social media with my kids, my own personal kids growing up, like you got to teach them responsible usage or else they're going to mm-hmm. get out there and it's going to just, you know, it's not ruining. Well, it could be ruining people, but it didn't, for my kids' sake, it didn't ruin them. But it's definitely a constant battle to stay ahead of that and teach them the appropriate use, the timing and all that stuff. Because like you said, if you don't teach them that, then it's just going to run them over.
Yeah, so exactly. You have to stay ahead of it. Absolutely. So I've asked lots of questions. I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything else you want to specifically make sure that our listeners know about San Joaquin County?
You know, well, I think I said a lot about the organization itself. I do feel like, you know, SELPAs are something, and this is a more broad, general, I guess, plug I would say for SELPAs. We are here to support not only school districts, but families and students and community organizations. And so it would be my plug to say, if you are struggling with whatever it might be, whatever role that you're in, please know that SELPA is a resource for you related to special education. And so every county in the state of California has a SELPA. There may be multiple SELPAs within one county, but at least every county has a SELPA, and they really are a resource for folks to be able to gain information they may need to help them navigate the special education process. Anything that might be special ed related, whether it be a staff member or a parent or a community agency, please reach out to your SELPAs for that support, because they're a wealth of information. We live this job every day, and so the access to resources that we have and the relationships where we have can often help people move things along the way they want to get things moved along. And so I think it's more of a plug for, like, understand that SELPAs are here for you, whether it be a staff member, a community member, or a family or a community organization, that we are here for you to support in any way that we possibly can. So
awesome. Yes. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. And don't underutilize. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Right.
That is 100% true. Yeah. And there are different ways we are able to gather input from folks. Whether it be through email, whether it be through an intake form, whether it be through a phone call, however that might be, or you can even pop into the office. And we have people here, you know, during the work week to be able to support and help whoever might need that help. So
awesome. Yep. Awesome. Yep. An agency that helps is really an amazing thing. That's a great thing. It's a great thing.
It's so easy to get bogged down in SPED and special education. And so we're here to support in any way that we can.
Well, and when you're a parent that all of a sudden you have a child with special needs and that wasn't anything that you thought you were ever going to have to deal with, it can be daunting.
Yes.
Absolutely very. Daunting.
It is a process and to navigate too.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we know that as a mother myself, you know, there's mama bears out there. You want what's best for your kids, and that's okay.
Yep.
We want you to have what's best for your kids. And that's 100%. That's why we're here. We're here to help you to navigate that and make sure. And I don't mean to speak for you, but, you know, just all of us in education, all of us in special education, that's why we do what we do. That's all day long.
For most times, it's not for the paycheck, I can tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
I would agree with you. There's not many folks that you come across in education that aren't in it for the students and aren't in it for the right reason. In my 20, almost 30 years of experience, I can count on maybe one hand that I'm like, wow, that person's not here for the right reason.
Yeah.
So educators, they got that heart and they want to support and help. And so we definitely want to build that teamwork type of framework where we're partnering with families and we're partnering with educators and districts to help support students and move the needle on getting them the services and meet the needs, as many needs as possible for each individual student out there.
Very well said. So where do people go, Marty?
So we have a website, so you can go just type Google or whatever your search engine is, San Joaquin County SELPA, where you can access all the information that you need related to alternative dispute resolution or our program specialists and who they serve and what they do. And then our San Joaquin County Office of Education also has a website that you can access all the programs that we have here in San Joaquin County Office of Ed. So that's probably the easiest way to access information is go to website. If not, if you want to give me a call, my phone number is 209-468-4927. And we will definitely pick up the phone and do what we can to help out.
Awesome. And San Joaquin is Joaquin.
Correct.
Joaquin. Yeah.
Yep.
So just for those of you that are listening, because Marty has this beautiful logo right over his right shoulder. Left, right. Yeah. Right shoulder.
Right.
My husband's
yep.
going to laugh at me because my left and right. I am left and right challenged. If there's any other left-handed people out there, you understand what I'm saying. I cannot. So I always have to. It's a running joke in our family. But he's got this beautiful logo and it says San Joaquin County SELPA. It's beautiful. So, but yeah. So those of you that are listening, you can't see that. So, and he is absolutely going to help you guys. And I love that so much. So, Marty, you know, just amazing. So I have one last question I try to ask everybody. So I'm going to ask you this last question. So if you could, and I say miraculously because I'm a Christian and I believe that God can do whatever he's going to do. But if you could miraculously fix just one thing in your sphere, can't be money because we know we all need to, we even touched on that, right? We all need more money. But other than money, what would be, if you could just have this one issue or this one thing go away and never have to deal with it ever again, what would that one thing be?
Oh boy. Interesting. So to go away, huh? So I guess it would be, for me, is just the barriers that may keep students from learning, whatever that barrier might be. Like socioeconomic stuff is always comes into play. But I want students to be able to access what they need in order to be able to learn. And so I would say any barriers that prevent them from learning, I would want to miraculously go away.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one. And I ask that question because it just goes to our heart. You know, where are we at? What is? And I have yet to have somebody who did not answer that question well. So sometimes I ask it and sometimes I don't. I used to when I first started the podcast, I was like, I'm always going to ask this question. But then there's times where it doesn't make sense to ask it. But
right.
But it did make sense to ask it. And it's a great, great answer. So thank you. Yeah, absolutely, Marty. And thank you for coming on Brighter Together, because ultimately we're brighter together, aren't we?
We are. Yes, we are. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you, Jana. It's been really, really cool and great experience. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great rest of your school year.
All right. I will. Thank you. Bye.